Jennifer?
Yes, my darling?
Is the newspaper man here?
Yes, Mr. Dubedat. I'm here at your service. I represent the press. I thought you might like to let us have a few words about a few words on your illness and your plans for the season.
My plans for the season are very simple. I'm going to die.
Louis, dearest.
My darling, I'm very weak and tired. Don't put on me the horrible strain of pretending that I don't know. I've been lying there listening to the doctors, laughing to myself. They know. Dearest, don't cry. It makes you ugly. I can't bear that. I want you to promise me something.
Yes. Yes, you know I will. Only, my love, don't talk. It will waste your strength.
No, it will only use it up. Ridgeon, give me something to keep me from going for a few minutes. One of your confounded antitoxins, if you don't mind. I have some things I want to say before I go.
I suppose it can do no harm.
Ridgeon pours out some spirit and is about to add soda water when Sir Patrick corrects him.
In milk. Don't set him coughing.
Louis drinks.
Jennifer?
Yes, dear?
If there's one thing I hate more than another, it's a widow. Promise me that you'll never be a widow.
My dear, what do you mean?
I want you to look beautiful. I want people to see in your eyes that you were married to me. The people in Italy used to point at Dante and say, "There goes the man who has been in hell." I want them to point to you and say, "There goes a woman who has been in heaven." It has been heaven, darling, hasn't it? Sometimes?
Oh, yes. Yes. Always. Always.
If you wear black and cry, people will say, "Look at that miserable woman. Her husband made her miserable."
No, never. You are the light and the blessing of my life. I have never lived until I knew you.
Then you must always wear beautiful dresses and splendid magic jewels. Think of all the wonderful pictures I shall never paint.
She wins a terrible victory over a sob.
Well, when you must be transfigured with all the beauty of those pictures, men must get such dreams from seeing you as they could never get from any daubing with paints and brushes. Painters must paint you as they never painted any mortal woman before. There must be a great tradition of beauty, a great atmosphere of wonder and romance. That is what men must always think of when they think of me. That is the sort of immortality I want. You can make that for me, Jennifer. There are lots of things that you'd understand that every woman in the street understands. But you can understand that and do it as nobody else can. Promise me that immortality. Promise me you will not make a little hell of crepe and crying and undertaker's horrors and withering flowers and all that vulgar rubbish.
I promise. But all that is far off, dear. You are to come to Cornwall with me and get well. Sir Ralph says so.
Poor old Bonington.
Poor fellow. Brain going.
Sir Patrick's there, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Sit down, won't you? It's a shame to keep you standing about.
Yes. Yes, thank you. All right.
Jennifer?
Yes, dear?
Do you remember the burning bush?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my dear. How it strains my heart to remember it now.
Does it? It fills me with joy. Tell them about it.
It was nothing. Only that once in my old Cornish home, we lit the first fire of the winter. And when we looked through the window, we saw the flames dancing in a bush in the garden.
Such a color. Garnet color. Waving like silk. Liquid, lovely flame flowing up through the bay leaves and not burning them. Well, I shall be a flame like that. I'm sorry to disappoint the poor little worms, but the last of me shall be the flame in the burning bush. Whenever you see the flame, Jennifer, that will be me. Promise me that I shall be burnt.
Oh, if I might be with you, Louis.
No. You must always be in the garden when the bush flames. You are my hold on the world. You are my immortality.
I'm listening. I shall not forget. You know that I promise.
Well, that's about all. Except that you are to hang my pictures at the one-man show. I can trust your eye. You won't let anyone else touch them.
You can trust me.
Then there's nothing more to worry about, is there? Give me some more of that milk. I'm fearfully tired. But if I stop talking, I shan't begin again.
Sir Ralph gives Louis a drink.
I say, Bonington, do you think anything would stop you talking?
He confuses me with you, Patty. Poor fellow, poor fellow.
I used to be awfully afraid of death, but now it's come and I have no fear. I'm perfectly happy. Jennifer?
Yes, dear?
I'll tell you a secret. I used to think that our marriage was all an affectation, and that I'd break loose and run away someday. But now that I'm going to be broken loose, whether I like it or not, I'm perfectly fond of you. And perfectly satisfied because I'm going to live as part of you and not as my troublesome self.
Stay with me, Louis. Oh, don't leave me, dearest.
Not that I'm selfish. With all my faults, I don't think I've ever really been selfish. No artist can. Art is too large for that. You will marry again, Jennifer.
Oh, how can you, Louis?
Yes, because people who have found marriage happy always marry again. Ah, I shan't be jealous. But don't talk to the other fellow too much about me. He won't like it. I shall be your lover all the time, but it will be a secret from him, poor devil.
Come, you've talked enough. Try to rest a while.
Yes, I'm fearfully tired, but I shall have a long rest presently. I have something to say to you, fellows. You're all there, aren't you? I'm too weak to see anything but Jennifer's bosom. That promises rest.
We are all here.
That voice sounds devilish. Take care, Ridgeon. My ears hear things that other people's can't. I've been thinking. I'm cleverer than you imagine.
You've got on his nerves, Collie. Slip out, quietly.
Would you deprive the dying actor of his audience?
I heard that, Ridgeon. That was good. Jennifer, dear, be kind to Ridgeon always, because he was the last man who amused me.
Was I?
But it's not true. It's you who are still on the stage. I'm halfway home already.
What did you say?
Nothing, dear. Only one of those little secrets that men keep among themselves. All you chaps have thought pretty hard things of me, and said them.
No, Dubedat, not at all.
Yes, you have. I know what you all think of me. Don't imagine I'm sore about it. I forgive you.
Well, damn me. I beg your pardon.
That was old Walpole, I know. Don't grieve, Walpole. I'm perfectly happy. I'm not in pain. I don't want to live. I've escaped from myself. I'm in heaven, immortal in the heart of my beautiful Jennifer. I'm not afraid, and I'm not ashamed. I know that in an accidental sort of way, struggling through the unreal part of life, I haven't always been able to live up to my ideal. But in my own real world, I have never done anything wrong, never denied my faith, never been untrue to myself. I've been threatened and blackmailed and insulted and starved, but I've played the game. I've fought the good fight, and now it's all over. There's an indescribable peace. I believe in Michelangelo, Velazquez, and Rembrandt, in the might of design, the mystery of color, the redemption of all things by beauty everlasting, and the message of art that has made these hands blessed. Amen. Amen.